Foundation Baptist Church. We find our seats in a hymnal. Be in the blue hymnal, page 51, To God Be the Glory. 51, To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life at atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Amen. Now, Brother Mikey, can you open us with a word of prayer? Amen. Next song is 34 in the blue. Praise Him, praise Him. On the first.
Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered in blood and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, love with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Amen.
All right, welcome back to Shirt Foundation Baptist Church for our evening service. Let's take our bulletins and go through the announcements. And these are like brand new to me because I wasn't here to announce them earlier. But does anybody need a bulletin? Just lift up your hand nice and high. One of the ushers will bring you a bulletin. Got a couple hands over there. One that you can completely ignore. It's a child, but there's one over there. No, just kidding. I'm kidding, but not kidding. All right. Anybody else? Need a bulletin? Just lift up your hand. All right. On our cover, we have the verse of the week. It says, "Of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands." Psalm chapter 102, verse 25. Great scripture there. On our inside page there, we have our service times. Sunday morning service, 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening service, 3:30 p.m. And our Thursday Bible study is 6:30 p.m. We're going to be moving our Joshua series to Thursday nights. And Joshua will be in Joshua 18 this Thursday night. And so tonight I'm going to be preaching a sermon against a country. And I haven't done that in about a year or maybe a longer. But it is kind of going to be a negative sermon tonight. So but I'll try to end it on a positive note if I can. So anyway, our praise report, you can look down, you can see the salvations, baptisms, and attendance totals there. From, yeah, we're far cry from last Sunday morning and Sunday evening, but we did have a conference going on. So, but we do have a lot of people out doing different things today. So we had 8 visitors this morning, so that's great. And appreciate everybody being faithful tonight. We did have someone in today. Did anybody have a salvation out there? All right, Brother Drew, praise God. You must have got the good door, because I got all the bad ones. I had an apartment manager from hell following me around the whole time and trying to throw me out of the apartment complex, but I was just like, no, I'm not going anywhere. How about that? So, but she was like just driving around on her little scooter thing and just recording me everywhere I was going. So I just recorded her back. But anyway, it wasn't too bad, though. It was a nice exercising walk. So anyway, on our event page, we definitely have a lot of events coming in the near future. We have this coming Saturday, Miss Kayla's bridal shower. That'll be here at the church building at 11 a.m. She's registered at Target. And so, yeah, Miss Kayla's getting closer to being married off. She's marrying Gabe from the church in Tucson, Straight Pass Baptist Church. And so we're going to have a big wedding here, and that is going to, I'll announce that here in just a second. But June 6th through 8th is the Fortress Baptist Church one-year anniversary. Pastor Weeb out there in Winnipeg. And so he's having like a camp out on his property. He has a pretty big property there. And so there'll be some preaching and food and fellowship, some soul winning on Saturday. And then, of course, we'll have the services on Sunday up there in Winnipeg. So they're doing great works up there. And it's good to have Brother Jim, Pastor Weeb, excuse me, at the conference with us, and his some of his one of his church members and his son Michael. Anyway, we also have a Father's Day event coming up. We always do the men's shooting event. Brother Sean is not here today. He's not feeling well, but I'm sure we'll have all the. I'm sure we're gonna have 9mm, 1,000 rounds of 9mm, 1,000 rounds of 5.56, and we'll probably go up shooting where we always go up shooting, and have a good fun day up there. Not sure about the time yet, but we'll get that sorted out. And we usually do that right the day before Father's Day. So, and then Father's Day is the 15th of this coming month. And there'll be gifts for all the fathers in attendance, food in between the services. And the 28th through, and the 29th is the Chicago Soul Winning Marathon, if anybody's wanting to go to that. And I'll be preaching in Cicero, which is kind of a suburb where all the Italian mob used to be back in the day, and now it's just Hispanics. But and all the mobster type places are gone. But yeah, there's a great great church there. We'll be preaching there on Sunday the 29th. June 28th is the Soul Winning Marathon in Mount Vernon. So that same weekend that the Chicago Marathon's going on, Evangelist Sean Conlon will be working with Evangelist Wynn. I'm not sure that that's the exact name. It's near Mount Vernon, Washington, though. I'll get the exact details on that. And if you would, please pray for Miss Chantel. She had to go in for a procedure, kind of an emergency procedure having to do with the gallbladder. So if you would pray for her recovery. I think she had the procedure done already, but yeah, so just pray for her health and that. So then Soul Winning Marathon in Mount, so yeah, so then the men's preaching night will be the June 29th, July 5th and 6th, Yakima Bible Believers Baptist Church anniversary. July 19th is the wedding for Gabriel and Kayla's, their wedding's 1 p.m. here at the church building. There'll be a reception to follow. We'll have more about that as it comes closer. And then the 24th through the 27th is our anniversary, our 7th anniversary. Pastor Anderson will be preaching on the 24th, which is our Thursday night service. Normally it would be a Friday, but I think he's just here for like one day. Then he's like going somewhere on a cruise or something, so for his birthday. So he is going to preach for us, though, that Thursday. So, and then the BBF, Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship, August 27th through 31st is at Steadfast Baptist Church. Lots of stuff coming up, lots of stuff to choose from. So if you can go to some of it, cool. If you can't, then you know, you can always watch it online or whatever. But anyway, all the other stuff is pretty much par for the course. And Gabe, did we already sing happy birthday to Gabe? Huh? We did? Okay. Well, that's all you get, buddy. No, I'm just kidding. How old are you going to be, Gabe? 13? Oh, so next year he gets to be in, next time we do the sword drills, he gets to be in the next group up. Those kids, man, they were fast. Like, those younger kids, like, man, they were quick. Gabe, you did a good job, man. You won, right? You won your category? Yeah, there were some pretty hotly contested things. My wife said, I was trying, but, like, the little kids were just so fast. So, anyway, it was lots of fun at the conference. Once again, wanted to thank everybody for all the hard work they put in. It was, it gets to be kind of pandemonium around here, but I hope you all had a good time during the conference, and just wanted to say thank you once again to everybody that helped. So with that being said, let's move on with service, have another song, and then we'll receive the offering.
Yeah, special thanks to Gabe for learning 8 songs in 24 hours. So 248, Nearer My God to Thee, 248 in the blue.
Thank you.
first.
Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me. Shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. There let the on to heaven, all that thou sendest me in mercy given, angels to beckon me. Then with my waking thoughts, bright with thy praise, out of my stony griefs, Bethel I raise. So
time, we'll collect the offering. Brother Jesse, can you bless the offering?
Turn with me to your Bibles, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. Isaiah, chapter 1. If you do not have a Bible, there will be one in the seat in front of you. Isaiah, chapter 1 reads, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth its his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should ye be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour in it your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And a daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts has left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feats my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make your prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers, thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious, and companions of thieves. Every one loveth gifts, and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water, and the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. Brother Robert, would you please pray for a service?
Amen. All right. Well, I'm preaching against a nation this evening, and like I said, I haven't done that in, I don't know, probably over a year where I preach against the nation of Scotland. And I really like this passage when it comes to preaching against nations that are supposedly a Christian nation. And South Africa is about 85% Christian in name, I guess, because you know, the way their government operates, the way their religion operates, and just what I've seen of this nation since even before I was saved is, you know, this nation of South Africa is a horrific nation. And so basically I'm going to use the passage of Isaiah to preach against the nation of South Africa. I've actually wanted to preach about this for a long time, and it's really been a long time coming. And you're like, well, what has South Africa ever done to you, Pastor Thompson? Well, I mean, just they've done some things, okay? They've done some things to my friends, and they've done some things to just Christianity in general. But, you know, you're like, well, why would you preach against a nation? Well, why did Isaiah preach against a nation? He's preaching against Judah, which is a nation at this time. Why did Jeremiah go all over the world and preach against certain nations? Why does Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, preach against several nations? Why do prophets preach against nations? Because sometimes nations and cities need to be preached against. You know, someone was saying, well, what about our nation? I preached against our nation before, too. Yeah. It's not like they haven't been on the list, and they probably get zeroed in on again at some point in time. But many of you probably saw the news. Most people actually haven't seen this that I've talked to about it, but last week, our president wheeled out a couple televisions while he had the South African, I don't know if he's called a president or a prime minister or whatever he is, but he's basically denying that these farmers, these white farmers, are getting killed in South Africa and they're being targeted because of them being white. And a couple weeks ago, he let in a bunch of refugees that are white farmers from South Africa, and the media lost its mind over it. And usually I don't really care too much about headlines, but every once in a while, you know, a headline will kind of grab my attention. But so basically the media got upset because they brought white refugees. So apparently only people of color are allowed to come and be refugees in this nation because they just lost their ever-living minds about it. But then when that South African president was here, then he was like denying that these things are happening, these atrocities are happening in South Africa, where white people are about 5% of the population. But of course, there's a history of apartheid, and who knows what apartheid was? All right, some people that were around in the 90s. All right, if you don't know what that is, it was kind of like this system where they segregated people based upon what race you were. Of course, as Christians, we don't necessarily believe in race, but anyway, I'll get into that a little bit further. But so Donald Trump wheels out the, you know, he turns, says, hit the lights, pulls up a couple screens, and he's showing, you know, them chanting this song called, the song is called Kill the Boers. And what Boer means is the farmer, or, you know, the husbandman, basically, is what that means in Afrikaans, which is kind of a Dutch language based upon the colonials that kind of, you know, settled the land a long time ago. But there's a song that was for apartheid at the time or whatever, and it was called Kill the Boers. Yeah, it's against apartheid, I'm sorry. So it's against apartheid back, you know, from the, you know, I think it was from the 1960s is when it first started. But anyway, it was deemed as hate speech, the song itself, because it's highly controversial. I mean, you're saying to kill people, and basically the Boers that they're talking about white people. And so now that things have all been changed, the government's been changed, that apartheid is no longer part of the nation at all, but everything's been reversed. So now white people are the bad guys there. But I mean, they always have been, according to, you know, the apartheid stuff, but like, they're being mistreated, and being the racism is against them now. And, you know, they're singing these songs filled with stadiums of people saying to kill them. And they're like, well, you know, everybody knows that that's not really meant to be literal. But, okay, I'm going to talk more about that later. But that's kind of, and then you have all these people being killed, and it's like, okay, well, these white farmers are getting killed. And so Trump is showing this on television. And all the, it's just, you know, people are freaking out about it in the media or whatever. So he's playing this. He's playing all these, showing all these graves where people had, all these farmers that have gotten killed, thousands of people. And, you know, it's a big deal right now. But that just kind of sparked me to remember that I wanted to preach this sermon. So let's get into the scriptures here. And so again, this text is going to be applied to any New Testament country that's Christian, and it can be applied to non-Christians also. But I mean, I think it's fitting for a Christian nation that calls himself a Christian nation. So look at verse number one. The Bible says, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, nor mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage and a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city." And in reality, the nation of South Africa is kind of a lot like this. Strangers have come and destroyed its lands, but there's the people that are starving. It is now a third world country. It once was a thriving nation. It once had nuclear power and actually had nuclear weapons. I was talking to Brother Bill about this before the sermon. And they used to be a thriving nation, and they are no longer that. Their people are starving. There's massive amounts of violence going on in their country. Their religion, even though they're saying they're 85% Christian, I mean, what does that actually mean? A lot of false Christianity going on there. A lot of false doctrine going on there. And they still kind of believe some of this voodoo stuff. They mix it, the old African religions, they mix it together with Christianity. It's false, it's wicked, it's wrong. And their government is a train wreck. Their government is just super corrupted, and it has been for a long time. And, you know, you would think with a nation that has 85% claiming to be Christian that it would be run a little bit better. And it's just not. From the head of, from the bottom of the feet to the top of the crown of the head, it is just, it's gone. And there's reasons why it's gone. It's because they've just forsaken the true God of Israel. And they have a lot of problems. So the first problem that the nation, the wicked nation of South Africa has is that false religion abounds in South Africa. False religion abounds. Look at verse number 11 in Isaiah chapter 1. It says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They're a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them." What's God saying here? He's saying, you can go through the motions with your little religious stuff, but it doesn't mean anything to me if you're not even really having faith in me. If you don't even believe in me, then all your religious stuff means diddly squat to me. It means nothing. I actually hate it. I abhor it. It's detestable unto me. Now, God hates fake religion. So you can go through all the motions. It could be even things that, because what he's mentioning there are not wrong things. He actually commanded the children of Israel to do these things, But if they're doing it out of a heart that's not even saved, if they're doing it out of a heart that's not even true or real, then God has no use for it. So you have a lot of Christian so-called churches over there, but if they're not teaching the right salvation, if they're not teaching the right God, if they're not even teaching the right commandments, then what's the point of it? All it has done is just corrupted that place even more. And really, what really took off there immediately was Calvinism. And Calvinism had a real big foothold on the nation when it first started being colonized in the first place. And the Church of England, of course, there was a lot of English, you know, people there. They dominated the landscape, but also the Dutch. The Dutch are what brought in the Calvinists and all that kind of stuff. And they pretty much dominated those two religions. And then, of course, the Wesleyans, you know, John Wesley's religion, the Methodist. And, of course, they believe what? That you can lose your what? Salvation. So, you know, this is where the, you know, are you Calvinist or are you, you know, what is it, Arminian or, yeah. Or can you lose your salvation or are you saved forever? But you know, obviously, you don't have, it's like the Coke and Pepsi. Is it Coke or Pepsi type of argument? But Methodists, Calvinists, Church of England, Catholics, there are Baptists there. But they're Baptists, there's about 450,000 Baptists there. But do you think they're independent fundamental Baptists? No, they're not independent fundamental Baptists. They are like the denominational Baptists. So they're corrupt as heck, you know? So there's about five, Grok could only find me five independent fundamental Baptist churches that were there out of 60 million people, out of the whole nation. And who knows if those churches are even actually good. I mean, you probably would have a hard time finding that out unless you actually flew to South Africa and went to those churches. So the breakdown is this. Christianity is the number one religion there. Then you have traditional faiths, which is like witch doctors and voodoo and whatever other kind of weird African religions that they have. And then you have no religion. So the traditional faith, 7.8%. No religion, 3.1%. And Islam, 1.6%. And Hinduism, 1.1%. So, and then others, 1.1%. So, I mean, the lion's share is Christianity. So you'd think, hey, this should be a good nation. But it's not a good nation. With stats like that, you would just think it would be thriving, but it's not. There's false prophets galore. And, you know, if Desmond Tutu is like the person that they were looking to for light in that country, then you know that they had a lot of problems. Desmond Tutu, you know, died, went to hell in 2021. And you're like, well, how do you know he went to hell, Pastor Thompson? Because he's a false prophet. That's how I know. And he was a retired Anglican Archbishop of Cape Town, but he still got sound bites and did interviews and things like that. And he was an he got into the anti-apartheid movement, of course. He was a big leader in that. Kind of like how MLK used the Baptists, and he went through Baptist, and he was as saved as the bottom of my shoe. You know, MLK was a wicked false prophet too. So didn't he deny the virgin birth? Kind of seems like these guys all kind of have to deny the virgin birth or something to be, you know, and Desmond Tutu, you know, he's even in a worse church. He's in an Anglican church, which is basically the Church of England. Okay, so the Bible tells us to mark and avoid those that would cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned and avoid them, right? So Desmond Tutu, he was kind of like their spiritual leader. Like, if you would, like, obviously there's people there that would not look to him for the spiritual leadership, but who knows who that is, even? You ever heard of him? Okay. Well, if you haven't, this is, you know, this guy was a really wicked person, and he is dead, and he did go straight to hell. You're like, did you see him go straight to hell? No, but the Bible tells us the types of people that go to hell. It's not like a big shocker when some of these people say the things that they did. Listen to some of the stuff he said. Desmond Tutu questioned the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He said, some people thought there was something odd about Jesus' birth. It may be that Jesus was an illegitimate son. I mean, so what's he saying? That Jesus was a bastard, isn't he? And So this is from the, that was from 1980, a quote from 1980. Tutu was a universalist who believed all men have God. He said this, quote, "The Holy Spirit is not limited to the Christian church. For example, Mahatma Gandhi, who is a Hindu, the Holy Spirit shines through him." You know, he's the one that says, you know, hate the sin, not the sinner. And people always quote that. That's not the Bible that says that. It's Gandhi that said that. So Tutu probably helped him get that out or whatever. I don't know. But he said the Holy Spirit shines through Gandhi, who was a Hindu, and he was a pervert, by the way, too. So, and here's another one. Everybody is a God carrier. I'm surprised that's not like a catchphrase that goes on today. Are you a God carrier? You know, all this weird jargon that people have nowadays. But he says, everyone is a God carrier. All are brothers and sisters. That's a Mormon doctrine right there. Everybody's a brother and sister. That's not true. All are one family that can live in peace. Then evil will be overcome and God will say, you are my children. I mean, this guy's a demon. I mean, this guy was a devil in disguise. He says, help me to realize my dream. I don't know how he talked. I never really listened to him talk. But I mean, he's just saying all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, that stuff is bizarre. The guy is a false prophet. He says, God's family has no outsiders. Jesus said, I, when I am lifted up, will draw all to myself. Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, gay, lesbian, so-called straight, all are to be held in the incredible embrace of the love that won't let us go. I mean, this guy is wicked, right? That's a sermon he preached in Pasadena, California at All Saints Church. So I don't think all the people that were at All Saints Church were all saints. Just saying. Anyway, so like all false teachers, Tutu twisted scripture out of context. The Apostle Paul warned, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be, what's the Bible say? Accursed. Yes. Thank you. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's Galatians 1:8 and 9. So like many prominent black leaders who are exalted by the mainstream media, Tutu was a racist also. Now, we don't like racism at this church, and our church is not a racist church. Of course, you know, we get claimed that people say that we're racist all the time. You know, they always accuse us of being Trump supporters and racist. I mean, it just kind of seems to go hand in hand. But it says, he said this, thank God I am black. White people will have a lot to answer for at the last judgment. So apparently just being white makes you have a lot to answer for at the last judgment. He said that in 1984. He ignored mankind's wretched history of millennia of vicious tribal warfare in Africa. Because look, people have just been warring against each other. It doesn't matter what color you are. It matters what's in your heart. And, you know, black people have fought against black people. White people have fought against white people. Yellow people have fought against yellow people, and so on and so forth. Red against red, white against red. You know, just people fight. But let's turn over to Acts 17:26. Because, you know, honestly, racism is one of the dumbest things on the planet, and it's a really big dividing line in our world. It's almost like the devil just kind of uses that, and he uses false prophets to push that agenda, and then it divides people. And so, you know, like right now, there's a big anti-white movement in this nation and around the world, apparently. That when you're the target of someone being racist against you, you can't help but feel upset about that, it seems like. But now, if the shoe's kind of on the other foot, where white people are being treated in a racist manner, and it's actually been going on for a long time. It's not just a new thing. But people act like white people don't have the right to feel offended about people being racist against them. It's like, you know, black comedians can make jokes against white people, and, you know, it's funny. I actually think white jokes are funny. You know, it doesn't bother me at all. But if a white comedian told a joke about a black guy, well, the whole world would fall. You know, that guy from Seinfeld, what was his name, Kramer or whatever? He said one joke against black people, and, like, he was canceled for eternity over that. But, you know, there's just, like, a double standard that's going on. So, Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Sorry, I got to get there myself. 17, verse 26. The Bible says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." So God has made of all men on the earth of one blood. There's no such thing as, you know, if you're black, you have different blood than a white person. That's not what the Bible teaches. We all have the same blood that comes from Adam and Eve,
yep.
Noah and his wife,
yep.
Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And the color of our skin is just a pigment. It has nothing to do with anything else. And different cultures have different, you know, there's different cultures. I understand that. That's really what, you know, but the racism thing, that is something that is devised of Satan in reality. And it is a dividing thing that's in our country. It's in the world right now that's really bad. And South Africa has really just taken this hook, line, and sinker, even probably from the beginning of them being colonized. And it's just a real problem there still today. But now it's just the pendulum has swung from one extreme to the other. And now it's just like this small group is being persecuted, and then they're trying to deny it in the news. They're trying to deny it all over. You know, like if I watch the video on YouTube, and like there's, you know how YouTube will have those disclaimers, and it'll have like a Wikipedia thing on there? And it said, and when I clicked on the Wikipedia link, it said, the anti-white is a conspiracy theory. It's not even true that there's an anti-white bias out there. It's just like, why is YouTube like getting involved in, why don't you just be YouTube and let people upload videos and just shut up and let people think for themselves? Why do we need your fact checkers to put up fake articles? I mean, can't we just think for ourselves and just decide whether we think that it's true or not? Because it obviously is happening. Why are 70,000 people trying to get visas to come to the United States because they're not getting persecuted? No, probably because they are getting persecuted. They're afraid. I mean, if you're just sleeping at your farmhouse and then a whole bunch of people, I mean, if you have to have strongholds at your house with big walls and stuff, and, you know, these people have frequency jamming, it jams their cell phone so they can't call the police. I mean, where are they getting this technology from? It's happening. And, you know, they're just, people are just denying it. If the news is denying it, then you can just take it to the bank that what they're saying is not true. I mean, how do you know the news media is lying? The minute they open up their flap, the minute their mouth opens, you can just guarantee that what they're saying is a lie. I mean, that's been known to me even before I was saved. Like the news is just phony. You might get some truth, but it's very little. So now, and so the Bible teaches that we are all of one blood. God doesn't say, hey, don't preach this skin color or this ethnic group or this. No, he said, well, we're supposed to preach the gospel to all nations, right? All the face of the earth. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's not just white people that have sinned. It's not just black people. It's everybody. And so man's problem is not a skin color problem, is it? It's not a skin color problem. It's a heart problem. And our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so it's important that we get the gospel to everybody. And where our sins are darkened with sin, our hearts are darkened with sin, and we need the salvation of Jesus Christ to fix our hearts, to fix us and get us saved. So, you know, Desmond Tutu was just like a fag-loving idiot. He was, you know, and I'll talk about that more in just a little bit, but Calvinism, I think, is probably widely responsible for the problem of apartheid. And they're kind of ones that set the stage for all that. Baptists did go there, though. Baptists, English Baptists went there and colonized there. But the Southern Baptists also went there. The Baptists from the United States went there, and they evangelized. And, you know, God bless them. But, you know, what I didn't realize a long time ago that Southern Baptists did segregate blacks and whites away from each other. I didn't even know that till like the last decade, actually. When I found that out, it really bothered me because I've been in the Northwest my whole life, so I've never seen any kind of segregation like that. It just doesn't exist here. But apparently in the South, it does. And it really kind of is a dark stain on Christianity when people do that kind of stuff. I don't think it's right at all. And it was going on in South Africa kind of from the beginning, and apparently Baptists were kind of doing the same thing. It's not like they weren't reaching blacks. They were. They were reaching everybody, but apparently they were not mixing people. But the Baptists were training black preachers and ordaining black men for the ministry and things like that. So the Baptists aren't not jumping fully off the cliff like the Calvinists and these other false religions. But anyway, let's move on to point number two. Point number two is the murder and violent crime abounds in South Africa. The murder and violent crime abounds in South Africa. Look at verse number 15 back in our text. It says, "And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." And there's a lot of violence in South Africa. A lot of violence. A lot of violent crimes. The murder rate in South Africa has a notably high murder rate, with 6,953 murders reported between October and December 2024, equating to roughly 45 per 100,000 people annually, one of the highest globally. So in a Christian nation that should have some morals, if they're 85% Christian, they have one of the highest murder rates in the whole world. That's pretty bad. And one of the highest globally. And so 27,500 murders occurred nationwide. That's 6 to 8 per 100,000. No, I'm sorry, that's not 6 to 8 per 100,000. But in the U.S., it's 6 to 8 per 100,000. So our murder rate here is not even close to what it is there. It's just off the rails there. And that's a place with 60 million people there. General crime includes violent acts like robbery, assault, and carjacking, often fueled by poverty and organized crime. But, I mean, it's fueled by just godlessness in reality. The criminal justice system is overburdened with low conviction rates. Example, 20% for murder investigations in 2020. So only 2 out of 10 murders are solved and convicted. So why not just murder people? You're not going to get caught. You got a 20% chance of getting caught. Down from 31% in 2011. So the police just aren't convicting people anymore. And that kind of, we saw that trend in the United States when COVID was going on. Less police presence. You know, good luck getting them on the phone. You know, something happens, it's even less. You know, someone just steals your car. I mean, they're not going to catch them. But imagine living in a place like this where it's already big problems and then the police just totally back off. So it's one officer per 450 citizens in 2022, down from one per 250. So, you know, they got way less cops and they, you know, then, you, so you got this Julius Malema. I hope I'm saying his name right. But he has, that video was played. Trump played that video in front of the president. He's like, where is all this happening? This isn't true. And it's just like he's just showing it on video where it's at. But this leader, he's a communist, by the way. And he's saying, kill the Boer, kill the farmer. And a Boer refers to a farmer, particularly in the context of South Africa, where it is used to describe the descendants of Dutch, German, and French Huguenot settlers who arrived in Cape of Good Hope starting in 1652. These settlers, who became known as Boers, established farms and ranches, eventually developing their own culture and language, Afrikaans. So Here's something else that that guy said, that communist guy that's shouting in that video. And by the way, it's a stadium full of people. They're jumping up and they're like pretending to cut people and doing this dance. Has anybody seen that? Okay. It's pretty crazy, right? So he says, we're not calling for the slaughter of white people yet. Yet. I mean, yeah, that's not provocative, you know, to say that at all, is it? So, you know, people, the news is saying this is all debunked. This is all not true. Yeah, that's what they always like to say. None of this is true. This isn't real. White people cannot be discriminated against. It's garbage, folks. I mean, there is truth to it. So it's just the rhetoric is escalating. This is kind of how people that are about to get genocided, this is how they start to do it. Like this is what happened in Rwanda. So, and then, you know, the political violence, you know, through what they're saying is escalating. And then Trump is concerned that the South African authorities are not acting when these things are happening. You know, and then how are they getting all this technology? How are they stopping them from calling the police when they're being attacked on these farms? And, you know, there's evidence of targeted rural violence. It's just happening. And like I said, 70,000 South Africans are inquiring about U.S. asylum to escape the racially fueled violence and land seizing. So they're all just lying. All 70,000 of these people are just lying. It's not happening. The South African president just recently, and I fact-checked this because I wanted to make sure I fact-checked this stuff before I just start saying it. Because there's a lot of just, oh, they're lying, this is not true, whatever. But I fact-checked this last night. It says, the South African president signed a law that allows the government to seize land from farmers. And then like the fourth thing down, the reason is inequality that happened in the past or whatever. And he did sign it. So they can take the land from the people that already own it. That's just like, it's like reparations or something. They're just taking it from the people that already own it and giving it to other people, which is kind of what they're trying to do here in some way, shape, or form too. So the media and the left are saying that black farmers are subject to more violence statistically, and that's true, but they make up 95% of the population. There's only 5% white people there. So this is just like propaganda that the news is just kind of spinning. So I just recently spoke with someone, and they had shared their experience with me before with all this, because we had a family that was going to our church in Spokane, and they were going to go to South Africa, and I was trying to talk them out of it because I knew just how violent this place is. And I even got them in contact with Pastor Bogart and then another person that went to Shield of Faith, and they were trying to talk them out of it, because the guy that goes to Shield of Faith, he said, if you take your daughters over to South Africa, it's not if they get raped, it's when they get raped. And he was just like, don't go there. But they were like, well, there's no chemtrails there. There's no forced vaccinations. And it's just like, okay. So I preached a sermon about Ruby Ridge and how it's wrong for us as Christians to just try to get out of society and go build some, you know, missile silo someplace, or try to just get away from society. The Christians are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Amen. And Jesus told us when to go run and flee for the hills. And that's when the abomination of desolation comes. Amen. That's when the Antichrist comes. So, but anyway, I just recently spoke to this person, because the last time I saw their parents, they went to South Africa. And this gal went to South Africa with her husband and her child. And the last video I saw of her parents was them running from these people trying to take over their farm on Facebook Live. And I mean, they're still alive. They obviously didn't get killed or whatever. But even now, like as of a couple days ago, they said that they're not leaving. They've invested too much into what they're doing there. But I mean, okay, I'm not going to die over land. It's like, I'll just move. But they wouldn't even talk, because these two people left, the one of the daughters left with her husband and kid. But here's the story that she told me at the Spokane anniversary about 3 years ago. She said, I was in my house, because they're farmers, white farmers over there that moved from America. She said, I was in my house And I had my baby in like a little car, not a car seat, but like, you know, one of those bouncers or something. And I walked into the other room and I heard my baby start to fuss. And I walked back in and there's a whole room full of black guys. Like, she just walks in, whole room full of black guys. And she just starts screaming at the top of her lungs and they get freaked out and run out. So what do you think that they were there to do? Just say, hi, how are you doing? Like, why would they be there? Well, whatever, you know, obviously God was protecting her and on her side or whatever, but whatever, how she must have been screaming at like decibels that would pop your eardrums or something because they all got up and left. But I mean, she just escaped. They're probably there to rape her and rob her and kill her or something. Who knows? But even, you know, after that, like her husband is like hiding in the bushes outside while people are trying to attack their house. He's throwing rocks at him, trying to keep him away. He has no weapons to defend himself, and they just left. And that's why her family that lives there still won't talk. Well, they just finally started talking to her after all these years. But it's just like, it is true. I've actually seen it happening on video live. So don't sit there and tell me that it's not true, because I've seen it happening. I've heard firsthand stories about it. Like, oh yeah, she's just making it up. She just left South Africa because it wasn't happening. No, she left because she was afraid what might happen to her family later on. So, and her parents are still there. So the farm murder ratios, white farmers are killed at a higher rate, 140 per 100,000. These are statistics that are given that they're giving, okay? It could be higher. I don't really know, but this is just what I got, you know, from the internet, which is always true, right? But it says they're killed at a higher rate than black farmers, 25 per 100,000. So if it's 140 per 100,000 for white people to be killed and then 25 per 100,000, would you say that's a pretty big disparagement in numbers? So, but they'll just say, oh, that's just because, you know, whatever. They'll just, it's a difference. You know, they'll just make all these excuses of why it is. It can't be because they're just getting up and jumping up and down and screaming, kill the Boers, right? It can't be because of that. That just doesn't mean anything. How can you get up and scream that and say that it's, we don't really mean that? Kill them. I mean, don't you think in America, if we were doing that, that people would be upset about that? I mean, I'm pretty sure they would. If we had a song and everybody was just singing in these giant stadiums and they were saying, kill the fags, it would be, you know, people would be freaking out about it. I don't think it'd be allowed. But it's like in Mexico when they do the soccer games, you know, the what we call soccer, and then they go, mas, and then they say the word for faggot in Spanish. And they try to get them, no matter what, they try to get them to stop saying it, but they won't stop. They just keep saying it. It's pretty funny, actually. But you know, I mean, to say that it's genocide numbers, I mean, according to the numbers that I see here, it's not necessarily genocide numbers, but like, I mean, what is genocide? It's just that it's defined as deliberate and systematic destruction of a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group with the intent to destroy the group in the whole or in part. So I guess that really doesn't matter, you know, the numbers necessarily if you're just trying to destroy them all. So the destruction can be accomplished through acts like killing, causing bodily harm, inflicting conditions of life that bring about the group's destruction, imposing measures, conditions of life that bring about the group's destruction, imposing measures to prevent births or forcibly transferring children. But kind of what I've seen on the news, just even from anchors in America, they're saying, oh, just let them go back to the countries where they came from, like, you know, from the Netherlands or Germany or England. Isn't that like saying go back to your own country? I mean, because if you said that, like, you know, about black people here today, well, why don't you just go back to Africa then if you don't like it? That pisses people off, doesn't it? Well, why don't you just go back to Africa if you don't like it? But that's essentially what they're saying to these people, right? Yeah. Why don't you just go back to Germany if you don't like it? It's like they were born there. Yep. They're born in South Africa. How are you going to say that? So I asked Grok this question. I know this is probably going to be a little bit controversial, but I just said, if white farmers in South Africa made a song called Kill the N-Word, And it was just, because they're just saying that that boar song is just a political statement. It doesn't really mean what we're saying. So I said, if the South African white farmers made up a song called that and said it wasn't meant to be taken literal, how would that song be received? And here's what they said. A hypothetical kill the N-word song would be met with severe backlash, legal, social, and international, due to its racist nature and South Africa's history, far exceeding the controversy around kill the boar. Data shows white farmers in South Africa are killed at a higher rate than black farmers, reflecting their prominence of commercial farming and farm isolation. There's no evidence of racial targeting or genocide. What do you mean there's no evidence? They're killing more white people than they're killing black people by a big scale, if that scale's even true. But you see how the Grok is turning against us, okay? Grok is just like losing his mind. And he was pissing me off last night. He's not even a real person. It's just it's an AI construct. But it's obviously he's turning. I was like, are you just losing your mind and going liberal, Grok? What's wrong with you? And he was like a little offended that I said that to him. But I mean, a lot of these crimes are not getting solved either. And so it's murder, it's torture, it's rape, and it's theft of their stuff. They're not just killing them, they're torturing them, and they're raping them. It's not just random, they killed a couple of them or something. No, they're killing them, torturing them, raping them. Not necessarily in that order. Horrific things are being done in these killings, and they're not able to call for help somehow because they have some signal blocking technology. The military is what has that type of technology. Can you guys go to the Radio Shack, if they don't even exist anymore, but can you go to Best Buy and buy that stuff to block people's cell phones from calling people? No, because only the military has that stuff. So what are you naturally going to think if you're the president or people in the United States that somebody's giving these people technology to do this and carrying out these things? And then you got the smoking gun of their president in South Africa signing a bill saying it's okay to just take away people's lands, and here's the parameters. And then you have some commie screaming kill the boar, which was deemed hate speech in 2010, and then in 2022 they said, no, that's not hate speech. They don't really mean it. What? You don't really mean it? They don't mean it in that way. Well, it kind of sounds like that's what they're saying, though, isn't it? Kill them. Well, boars, it means farmers, so it could be the black people too. Yeah. A bunch of black people jumping up and down in a stadium and they're talking about other black people? I don't think so. That's not what it is. So, I also asked Grok, is SA or is South Africa the literal rape capital of the world? Because that's been known to be said about South Africa. Not only do they have a problem their murder rate is one of the highest globally, but they are called the rape capital of the world. Pastor Anderson said this in many of his sermons, or at least in some of his sermons. And I asked this question because people will say, oh, it's not really the rape capital of the world, right? But it says, the claim that South Africa, this is what Grok said to me, the claim that South Africa is the rape capital of the world has been widely circulated, often amplified by figures like Pastor Stephen Anderson, echoed in posts on X. So to address whether this is literally true statistically, I'll analyze the most recent and reliable data available while acknowledging the complexities of comparing rape statistics globally due to differences in definitions, reporting rates, and cultural factors. He's nerding out on me here. But so I'm going to try to not get too deep into the weeds here, but let's see. Okay, according to South African Police Services, 42,780 rape cases were reported in 2022 to 2023, and equating to approximately 70.59 cases per 100,000 people. And then, okay, so historical though, in 2010, South Africa had the highest reported rape rate globally at 132.4 per 100,000. So when Pastor Anderson said that, was he being truthful? Yes, he was.
It was the rape capital of the world. So, and then by 2019 to 2020, it dropped to 72.1 per 100,000, reflecting either a decline in incidents or changes in reporting. Because here's what police like to do, and I'll just be honest with you. This is how the government likes to do things. They like to find new ways of reporting things or find a way to skirt around things so that it's not reported in the exact statistic that it was before. It's just a fact. It's just how government works. But what's going on, though, what Grok is saying here, is that underreporting rape is significantly underreported in South Africa due to stigma, fear of reprisal, and lack of trust in the justice system. Estimates suggest that only 1 in 9 rapes is reported. So that's an estimate, measuring, or meaning actual incidents could be much higher. So 500,000, annually, as some sources claim. So it's gone down according to the reporting, but then it's also saying that it could be 9 times higher than it's actually being reported. So it would still be number one on the list. But since there's been this big crackdown on the reporting, then they don't really know for sure, but they're saying that they think it's actually could be 9 times higher than what's actually being reported. That's big. That's a big number. So it is the rape capital of the world. It is still true. So top in homicides, murder. Not just self-defense, but murder. Top in rape. I mean, it's a violent place. And then, so the top countries, though. 2025, Botswana, highest globally reporting, 92.93 rapes per 100,000. Followed by Lesotho. I've never even heard of this place. Does anybody know where that's at? Huh, never even heard of it. Okay. Well, it's still in South Africa, isn't it? 82.68. And then South Africa, 72.10. So they're in the top three statistically as it's being measured now. And then this one kind of blew my mind when I was reading it, but Sweden, 63.54 per 100,000. Now, and then Bermuda, 67.29, also rank high. But their numbers are inflated by a broader definition of rape and higher reporting rates. And I was just like, well, that's kind of weird. But definition, rape varies very widely. And so basically what Sweden has done is that, like, it doesn't have to actually be that. You don't have to actually say anything mean or forcefully. If you don't ask for consent every single time, then it could be rape. I don't know. It's gotten strange over there, folks. If I was a man in Sweden, I would leave, seriously, because it says exclude marital rape. So apparently they believe in marital rape there. And then Sweden's highest rate reflects a broad definition. So it could even be that it's not the act of, two adults do. And robust reporting systems reducing underreporting compared to South Africa. So I just was throwing this in here that Sweden passed this law in 2018 that criminalizes sex without consent as rape, even when there are no threats, coercion, or violence involved. So rape convictions have risen 75% since then. So almost everything's rape, I guess, according to Sweden. So he looked at me, rape. I don't know if it's that ridiculous, but it kind of seems like it's kind of gotten to that level. I mean, if they have 75% convictions higher, it's like, did you look me in the eyes? I didn't consent to that. Rape. I don't know if that's what they're doing, but it sounds pretty weird, right? Anyway, let's move on here. But one of the things it says here in sub-Saharan cultures, 79 million girls and women experience rape or assault before the age of 18. That's a crazy number. 79 million? I don't know. But I just, just an FYI for me, if I ever catch a man or anyone raping anyone and I'm packing heat, then I will kill you as dead as disco right there on the spot. And yes, I'm not apologizing for saying that. I will just shoot you dead right there. And you're like, I can't believe you said that, Pastor Thompson. Well, in Washington State, the use of force, including deadly force, to defend oneself or others against a rape or attempted rape is governed by self-defense laws. So if I caught someone doing something like that, pow, you're done. You're dead. I'm just going to kill you because that's what the law says I can do. So it's a stand your ground. Washington is a stand your ground state, and it also, the castle doctrine is enforced here. So you're like, well, you just did premeditated murder, Pastor Thompson. No, I said if I caught somebody raping somebody, I would shoot them because that's what the law says I could do. And it's a capital crime. So done. So, I mean, obviously that situation probably never is going to happen, but I mean, I'm just saying what I would do. It says lawful use of force. Washington allows individuals to use force to protect themselves or others from imminent harm, including violent crimes like rape. Rape is a violent crime. That's why I put it in this category here. And so, and according to Washington state law, that's imminent and violent crime, and I'm allowed to just bust the cap in their head, right? So, and I don't think anybody would in this church would be upset about that for one second. So hopefully not. Otherwise, you might have the liberal mind virus. But anyway, is South Africa the rape capital of the world? Yes, it is. Is it among the most murderous places in the world? Yes, it is. And so number three tonight, corrupt government abounds in South Africa. Isaiah 121 says, how is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. But now murderers, thy silvers become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. So, I mean, you just liken this to, this is the government gone wrong. The government has failed to do their job. And again, you had the Dutch and English colonials come there. Then you have apartheid start up in 1948 to 1994, which basically segregates people by black, white, brown, whatever. And they can't be in the same spaces. They can't be in the same churches. And so it really does kind of, it caused a big rift in that country, which allowed, this communist virus to start with Nelson Mandela. And he was a card-carrying communist. But, of course, if you search this out on Google, it kind of tries to cover this up. But in that time, during the 1960s, all these communist nations are trying to rise up, and overthrow their governments and stuff like that. So, there's a lot of propaganda on both sides. But Mandela, when I asked about, obviously Mandela is the first president elected. He was in prison for 27 years. And it's like, well, why was he? I Googled, why was he in prison for 27 years? Because he fought against apartheid. Well, that's not really an answer, is it? Obviously he did fight against apartheid, but he started a terrorist organization. First, it was nonviolent, so it wasn't a terrorist organization. But when they start blowing government installations up and it's killing innocent people, that's called terrorism. Yeah, you're bombing subways, you're bombing different places. That is terrorism. And they're acting like he was a hero for doing that, but he's murdering innocent people by blowing them up. So, I would call that a terrorist. These Antifa people they haven't even been doing that, but they're doing some pretty bad stuff, and they're terrorists in my mind. So, but anyway, there's bad done on both sides, I'm sure. But, the news crews are filming all these riots that are happening, and, the police are, using some pretty brutal methods. And, of course, apartheid kind of came to a head as Nelson Mandela's in prison. His wife, Winnie, though, is kind of connected to this terrorist organization that he was involved in, but they were never ever able to pin her exactly to it. But his wife's name was Winnie, and she was just convicted of murder and put away in prison for the rest of her life. She murdered her 14-year-old boy when she murdered a 14-year-old boy. She lit some supposedly lit somebody on fire. I mean, she was a murderer, murderess, or whatever you want to call it. But he killed people too. And apparently he had something to do with that 14-year-old boy getting killed too. He ordered it or something like that. So, but it's just funny because Winnie Mandela, you know, she kind of would just, she'd get charged with stuff and then get off the hook for it. Like, she got off the hook for killing that 14-year-old boy, even though she slit his throat to make sure he was dead. I mean, a 14-year-old boy, that's pretty weird, pretty wicked. But she got like a 5-year sentence for her involvement in it, and then on appeal only had to pay a fine, and then, you know, still got elected at some level of into the government for some reason, was elected. It says, let's see, she, the Truth Commission concluded that Miss Mandela was guilty of gross human rights violations, but that did not stop her from being reelected as the African National Congress MP and the leader of its Women's League. So, I mean, everybody knew what she was. She's a monster. She's a murderer, tortured people, killed them, but they still elected her to office. So it just shows you just how bad their government is. Mandela, who was a terrorist, is the first president. I mean, they were just kind of whitewashing all this stuff during the 90s. I mean, there was a big, you know, brainwashing happening in America over apartheid too. And look, I don't pretend to know everything about it, okay? I'm sure a lot of what apartheid was wicked and bad. I mean, but at the same time, you're going to just let this terrorist become the first president and act like everything he did was just hunky-dory or something? I don't agree with that. And here's the other thing that was wicked, this wicked about South Africa, is when they banned Pastor Anderson from going into the country. Why did they do that? Well, here's what Google says. Here's the reason why Pastor Anderson was banned, according to Google, okay? It says, yes, because I said, was Pastor Stephen Anderson banned from South Africa? It says, yes, Pastor Stephen Anderson, an American preacher known for his extremist anti-LGBTQ views, was banned from entering to South Africa in 2016. Here's the breakdown of the situation. Reason for the ban: Anderson and his associates, which is, you know, us, were declared undesirable persons by the South African Minister of Home Affairs, Malusi Gigaba. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he get caught with his pants down literally and get recorded doing some perverted things, and he got like ousted as the president after that or something? After he threw Pastor Anderson out and said, who's the real undesirable person? That minister, right? But anyway, this was due to Anderson's promotion of hate speech and advocacy for social violence. So social violence, I guess, is just words that hurt people's feelings, particularly against the LGBTQ community. He had previously praised the Orlando nightclub shooting, where 49 people, mostly LGBTQ plus, were killed. So, I mean, I don't think that he praised it. I just think that he wasn't sad about it. But anyway, South Africa has a constitution that explicitly prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation. Second action taken, Gigaba withdrew the visa exemption status normally enjoyed by Americans, effectively barring Pastor Anderson from entering the country. The decision was made after the consultation with the LGBTQ plus community leaders in South Africa. So they base on whether a pastor can come to their country, and all he was doing is what? Having a soul-winning event there in a church service. He wasn't there to rip on homos. He wasn't renting out a stadium to just have a song where you're getting up and go, kill the homos! Kill the homos! That's not what he was doing. I mean, it would have been cool, but I mean, that's not what he was doing. But he was there to save people, to get people saved. So two online petitions with over 60,000 signatures were also organized by activists to prevent his visit. Anderson's response. Anderson claimed on social media that he was also not allowed to have a connecting flight to South Africa from London. And it's like, he claimed? No, it's true. He landed in London and they wouldn't let him land there. They wouldn't let him. I think they really messed him over pretty hard. He was not allowed to be in England. He's still not allowed to be in England. So it is true. He said he felt sorry for the South Africa and the religious freedom no longer existed there. He also indicated he was planning to travel to Botswana, where he believed religious freedom still existed. And then Anderson was later banned from Botswana and deported. He had been banned from numerous other countries due to his extremist views and hate speech. Which, I mean, that's basically true. That's why they're banning him. But it's not like he was going there to preach hate speech, which hate speech doesn't exist in this country. It's the only country that I think has the freedom to preach whatever you want. Unless you just want to be on YouTube, then you can't preach whatever you want. But, you know, people get mad about it here too, but they can't really do anything about it. But here's the thing. The night our church had our first service, he preached at our church. And he came with his, like, what was it, a Botswana shirt on. And he didn't preach in a shirt and tie. But he told us about that whole thing. And he had the letter from the South African government that showed that the United States had paid for this gay SA radio to be formed just in order to try to get Pastor Anderson banned from the country. Our own government sold him out, and once he was on their territory, then they used those things. Our own government, you know, paid thousands of dollars to the gay SA radio or whatever to try to get him deported from South Africa. So that's, he has the evidence for that. Our own government did that. Yeah, I mean, I forgot about that. Thank you. Another little addition to the sermon, they have the highest AIDS rate. You know why? Because they're a bunch of sodomy-loving freaks. But that's my last point. So I know I'm going to go a little bit over, you guys. I'm sorry about that. If you need to get up and leave, just go ahead. I won't be offended. But so anyway, they're... And I put this under this section of government because it's the government that's corrupt that did that to him. And, you know, obviously the story to tell, Pastor Anderson tells the story in the first sermon, which is banned off of YouTube, by the way. But I think we could dig it up someplace. We could probably find it and put it on Rumble so people could hear it. But it was a great sermon. And he was persecuted in South Africa because he was actually going to preach the gospel, which is what they needed. And then after they evicted him from the country and didn't allow him to come, you know, I'm on that banned list of people too. There's actually a letter on the wall at Faithful Word. My name is on that list. I don't know if I'm still banned from the country, but my name is on the list. I have a picture of it. There's other people that were banned from the country. There's other people that were not allowed. But you know, we still have gone in and got a lot of people saved in South Africa. That is the saving grace of the whole thing, is that people from Faithful Word have gone over there. People from England have gone over there under Pastor Taverner, gotten a lot of people saved. Pastor Bogart has had a lot of people trained there, and they get people saved. So it's not like South Africa is not getting reached. I mean, there is a silver lining. There is a remnant in South Africa, and people are getting saved there. It is receptive to the gospel, which is really good news. But I do want to preach my last point here. Look at Isaiah 1:7, and this is where we can, I guess, cue off of YouTube, because YouTube's going to ban this sermon if I go.